many of you know that I was convicted of a federal crime in the United States for blowing the whistle on the CIA's torture program. I served 23 months in a federal prison, and I wear that conviction as a badge of honor. I would do it again, frankly, if I had the chance. With that said, several times I've applied for a presidential pardon that would reinstate my federal pension, including most recently under President Biden. I was unsuccessful. But Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, was not unsuccessful. After telling reporters on at least 8 separate occasions that he would not pardon his son, President Biden did exactly that. Today, we're exposing why. I'm John Kiriakou, and this is The Whistleblowers. Hunter Biden had felony convictions, federal felony convictions, and a lot of federal felony convictions. In June 2024, a federal grand jury in Delaware found Hunter Biden guilty of making a false statement to a licensed gun dealer, guilty of making a false statement on the federal firearms purchase form about being an unlawful user of drugs, and guilty of possessing a firearm while being an unlawful user of drugs. More charges, more convictions followed. In a separate case, Hunter Biden pleaded guilty to 3 felony tax crimes and 6 misdemeanor tax crimes, including for attempting to deduct $10,000 that he spent at a sex club, he called that a country club membership, and failure to pay at least $1.4 million in back taxes. Sure, I was a little bitter when Hunter was pardoned and I wasn't. I said at the time that perhaps I would have gotten that pardon if I had been a crackhead relative of the president's, or if I had been a convicted Chinese spy, or a crooked judge who literally sold children into bondage, at least 2 of whom committed suicide. And yes, President Biden pardoned all those people. But today we're here to talk about Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, the crimes he committed with impunity, and the deep state actors who wanted the rest of us to believe that it was all about a Russian disinformation campaign. We're happy to be joined by constitutional attorney Tyler Nixon, in addition to being one of the clearest voices on constitutional protections and civil liberties in the United States. Tyler grew up with Hunter Biden in Delaware and has known the man for decades. Tyler, thanks for being with us. It's always great to see you.
John, thanks for having me. And It pains me every time to hear your story and the injustice that is associated with it. It's awful, and you deserve clemency, and I hope President Trump grants it to you immediately, forthwith.
Thank you for that. Thank you. You are the only person I know who has known Hunter Biden for as long as you have. How would you describe the arc of his life, from the person you first met as a child to the man now convicted of multiple crimes, pardoned by his father, and still apparently going nowhere in life?
Well, it's an interesting story. You know, I basically grew up with him from going to church every Sunday as children, and then eventually went to high school together. I was 1 grade behind him and 2 grades behind his brother, Bo. And then he went to Georgetown a year. Basically, I didn't follow him to Georgetown. I got in fair and square. He was not the best student, let's just say. Neither of them were. Socialized with him later after we all got out of college and sort of went into our professional pursuits. And Hunter was always the number 2. And you know, he was a low key guy. He didn't have the polish and the sort of the political, what do we want to call it, finish, I guess, that his brother Bo did. Clearly, Bo was going to be the, you know, the heir apparent, the golden child to the throne. And Hunter was much more of a, I don't want to use this term in a positive way, but he was, you know, a free spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad because, I mean, I honestly, on a human level, feel for him because there's several times he confided in me that he hated the fact that he was forced into this life of, you know, first of all, no anonymity, constantly in the spotlight, you know, the son of Senator Joe Biden, one of the sons, and he could never just simply be a normal person. And not being the number one, he was essentially left to his own devices and expected to sort of just handle things probably in the background for Beau. And I don't think any of the things he obviously, after all this went down, has pursued art. Which, you know, God bless him, I guess, if he gets into recovery and he's, you know, he does, I don't know, he's got such a trail of just treachery and, I mean, just awful treatment of people and exploitation and opportunism that it's kind of hard to feel sorry for him or to feel, but, you know, I'm personally a Christian, and I, you know, believe that everybody has deserves a shot at redemption if they want it and they want forgiveness. But the arc of his life is one of someone who was always the number two, always on dancing on the edge of chaos and addiction, and completely antithesis of what the family's, you know, supposed values were. You know, Joe Biden being the inveterate drug warrior, and, you know, dare you touch drugs. And it's like, I think he just sort of went down the path of rebelling against his father, right, almost in every way possible. And ultimately, when Beau died, he was suddenly thrust into the spotlight now as the head of the family, so to speak, aside from Joe. And I think he lost it, or I think he just sort of felt, in a way, felt liberated because he no longer had to keep himself clean for Beau's future.
When you first heard about the gun and tax charges against Hunter, did they surprise you based on his character and his habits, or did they fit patterns that you had already seen?
No, I mean, I think he's always been, they've always run around with impunity. I mean, in high school, he was just out of graduation, I guess. You know, the rumor went around that he was arrested for cocaine, and or was caught with cocaine, let's just say. And he, you know, there was another kid who was in his class who, quote, took the fall for him. You know, he was sort of just let go, no repercussions whatsoever. Wow. And that would sort of be the become a theme throughout his life. And if I would urge everyone to look at the BidenLaptopReport.com, my friend Garrett Ziegler at Marco Polo has laid this all out. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of crimes documented, and many of them involve things like the Secret Service showing up to his hotel room because he was trying to charge, you know, hookers on his father's credit card accidentally, and they're banging on the door, you know, about to bust it down. Not to, like, enforce the law or clean him up, but to cover it up. And I think, you know, the bigger story is the complicity of law enforcement, our federal law enforcement, and frankly, in Delaware, the Delaware State Police. You know, it's a small state. I recall stories from, you know, secondhand, but through people I know, you know, personally close with, who said the higher ups in the Delaware State Police said you wouldn't even believe the sort of the trail of crimes and stuff that they got away with that was just swept aside by the police, you know, drunk driving, crashes, you name it. So, you know, this is unfortunately someone who's spent their life with impunity, doing anything they want. I mean, literally weighing huge amounts of crack cocaine on film and nothing happens. I mean, my God. It's when I think of the people in Delaware and around the country who have been locked away for years and decades, even because of Joe Biden's drug laws, and that Hunter Biden, you know, was just completely Big Lord Fauntleroy around town doing as much as he wanted. You know, but it's awful.
How much of that do you think is a result of, on the one side, his personal decisions and his addiction? And granted, addiction is a medical situation. It's an illness. And how much of it do you think is a byproduct of his political last name?
The fact of his getting involved with drugs and all that. Look, I don't want to delve too much into like a psychological analysis of him. I think that, you know, in our generation, you know, we grew up in the late 80s, and in the milieu of like partying and rock and roll and, you know, just sort of, you know, it was a crazy, I mean, the 80s were the 80s, and we sort of came of age right in the midst of that. And so I think someone who's exposed to celebrities, to the spotlight, to fawning, sycophants of his father, and can't do wrong, is never put in his place. And Joe Biden being an absentee father, there was a lack of supervision. But, you know, Bo grew up in the same environment and same circumstance, and he was straight as an arrow. So, I mean, I didn't particularly care for his politics, and I think he didn't really live up to what he could have done, Bo, his brother. But that being said, Bo proves that it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't the upbringing. It wasn't right. His name necessarily. I think Hunter was just a wild child, you know, and he pursued that, and he could get away with it, and he knew it, and he would always test the limits. And what would any teenager do into adulthood if they could do anything they wanted, practically, short of murder or something like that,
right?
And never get arrested, never get busted, never even worry about it. I mean, it's not the recipe for a responsible citizen.
It's not, indeed. And then, you know, on the one hand, you've got this party boy, Hunter Biden, smoking meth and snorting coke and consorting with prostitutes. On the other hand, all of a sudden, you've got the Hunter Biden who's on the board of directors of Burisma, the big energy concern in Ukraine, who's making millions of dollars. Can you recall a point where you felt that his proximity to power in Washington was giving him access or opportunities that an ordinary person just would not have?
Yeah, I personally met with him in the summer of 2001 when I was working with a small technology development company in Newcastle, Delaware, run by a classmate of his at Friends School. And, you know, a legit company. We were working on wind turbine technology and also airship technology. And they had worked with a big company in Germany called Cargo Lifter, build the giant – they wanted to bring back the giant airships, which has always been a passion of mine. But we were looking for some federal funds for a demonstration project for this technology in Delaware. And who do we call but, Oldacre and Biden. And, Joe, I mean, he clearly – it was, you know, give – I think the company shelled out $50,000. To Oldacre and Biden, and nothing came of it. I guess they expected more money. But, and I remember thinking, here's Hunt sitting at his desk, you know, with the Capitol out the window. You know, you could literally, I mean, you know, the prime location and not a paper on his desk. I thought, what attorney? I mean, I'm buried. I'm up to my neck in it all the time, you know, paperwork, whatever. Even when you practice the least amount of either paperwork intensive law, and not a single shred of – I'm like, you know, and he had a little tiny cell phone, the latest one. And I realized, like, he was the rainmaker for that firm, and it was direct access to Ted Kaufman and to whoever in Joe Biden's Senate office was needed to be tapped to make something happen. As soon as the threshold of either contributions, I'm sure, or direct payments to Oldacre and Biden were made. And, you know, look, a mutual friend of ours, and I can use the name Chris Stigani, who was a straight guy. He was part of one of the two families that ran – there's two major liquor distributors in the state of Delaware, NKS and Standard. And I believe he was NKS, but whatever the case, he ran the company. And as I understand it, according to him, they sort of the campaign importuned him to bundle donations for his coworker or his employees, excuse me, and he reimbursed the donations, which is illegal. He went to prison for this. Mm-hmm. He was prosecuted by the U.S. attorney, who, by the way, when he was a prosecutor, prosecuted. He was the U.S. attorney when Hunt was prosecuted, and was frankly let go on and let a lot of lapses on the statute of limitations for the tax crimes which he owed millions of dollars for. So someone like Chris Tigani, who simply, you know, you're talking about technical violations of campaign finance laws mm-hmm. that he was sort of coached to do by the Biden brothers or their minions. He goes to prison for like three, I think it's like 2 or 3 years. It was awful. I mean, he has, his wife was a very good, you know, close friend of mine. We were growing up when we were young. And it's just, this is the double standard that really ticks people off, and especially mm-hmm. people who, I mean, this was a guy who put out hundreds of thousands of dollars to Joe Biden's presidential campaign, and that's the thanks he gets.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the cases against Hunter Biden, the convictions, and what comes next. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're discussing the golden life, downfall, and reincarnation of Hunter Biden. Our guest today is Tyler Nixon. He's a constitutional attorney and former Hunter Biden friend. Tyler, thanks again for being with us.
Great to be with you, John. Thanks for having me.
Tyler, how did Hunter talk about his own influence when you were most closely associated with him? Did he see himself as a player in Washington, in political and business circles, or more as just someone who was on a ride as his father continued to become more and more important?
I never detected in him any interest. I mean, he could talk politics, but he was not ambitious. I mean, I think he did what he needed to do to advance his financial interests. But he was there as the representative of the Biden family and the Biden brand, as he called it, I believe, in some of the, some of the emails that were released, sort of the influence peddling, I hate to say it, brand he was sort of the point man on. But frankly, the whole operation, as I mentioned, the Marco Polo and the Biden laptop report, you can see it was pretty much managed by other people, who would basically, if a deal was being put together, he would attend whatever meetings needed to be for FaceTime or get on the phone to do the initial forays or to if there was a problem. But none of the details. I mean, I don't think he – I mean, he's almost – dysfunctional in terms of I don't think he could do basic think of an attorney drafting a brief. I mean, I don't think he could draft an order on a cocktail napkin, frankly. And that's just because he never did it, and I'm sure that in law school he never studied. He went to Yale, which is a pass fail, and do you think anybody at Yale was going to pass or fail Hunter Biden. His father, chairman of judiciary? I don't think so. And so, no, I think it was all about, and you can see this again in the record, it was never about political, it was never about ideology or some sort of agenda or some sort of empire building. It was always about getting money in the door, working a deal, setting yourself up, whatever you could take advantage of, get, grab, and that was it. And I think when Joe decided not to run in 2008, that really went into overdrive, in 2020, 20, excuse me, 16.
Right.
In other words, when they realized he was not going to have to be under the scrutiny, right. I think they went into overdrive just trying to grab as much as they could. And probably the early part of that was 2014 in Burisma, because, Joe knew early on that Hillary's going to run. He wasn't going to take her on. And so it was just grab as much as you could.
When you see public debates about Hunter Biden, what do you think the public still misunderstands the most about who he is?
Oh, gosh. I wish I could say there was some hidden secret or some sort of something. But I have to say, I've never seen anybody in political life who's been so exposed. I mean, really, if you think about
literally.
It. Literally. That were put out. I mean, smoking crack.
I've seen the Marco Polo book. Contents of the laptop, it is graphic. It's clearly rated X.
Just the pornographic pictures. I mean, I understand he had taken his Beau's widow and taken a film of them and put it on a porn site or something out of porn. What's it called? Pornhub, I guess.
Yeah.
Pornhub, is it? Pornhub, a website that's I don't know. I guess you can create accounts. It's a mystery to me, but he did this with his, I guess these were public, amateur stuff. I mean, wow. Nobody, I can't imagine the average person would be mortified. I mean, I would be like, I couldn't even imagine. I could not even imagine just even a picture of me with my shirt off, much less smoking crack with, my genitals hanging out and everything else. And I got to say, I don't know if he's ever looked at it or sort of. Maybe he's just buried it and just kind of shut it out. But my God, can you imagine? And I think there's frankly little left to the imagination with his life, for the public anyway.
Let me ask you about ethics. What was he like in private when it came to ethics? Did he express any concern about conflicts of interest, or did he see those as overblown or just political issues?
When he would show up, you mean in a limo full of hookers?
Yeah.
Or strippers, I should say.
Right.
No. No. No, he didn't. And this is one of the tragedies, I feel, of his life, maybe to a lesser extent of Beau's life, but because, you know, he had such privilege. He had such – I mean, he could have done so many noble things with his life. He could have helped so many people. He could have really made a difference in the world for the better. But he, unfortunately – simply just chose complete self-indulgence and opportunism and exploitation for his for a hedonistic, narcissistic lifestyle. And I think it's sad because, I mean, you know, honestly, there are people who would kill for – and one of the things that irked me as an example of this, there was somewhere a young guy who was trying to get a naval position, you know, who really earned it, you know, in the Navy, and a position that was given – to Hunt Biden, and Hunt Biden gets, you know, washed out from cocaine, coming up positive on a cocaine test. Well, whoever was chosen or didn't get chosen because he was chosen didn't get that opportunity back.
That's
they didn't
right.
call him up and say, oh, yeah, this guy's gone. No, that was it. That was his, for his career was, you know, permanently hobbled or whatever, and maybe the person made it later. And, I, you know, I'll tell you a story on that front. When I was ordered to return to active duty for Operation Iraqi Freedom, and I had just started my law practice. I mean, it would have destroyed everything I'd built after being active duty Army infantry in the Gulf War and having served in the desert in the Berlin Brigade. So I said, well, maybe I can join the Delaware National Guard as a JAG officer, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, sorry, we have no positions left. You know, we have no slots right now. And like literally a month later, they announced Beau Biden is, you know, joins the JAG Corps in the Delaware National Guard. I thought, you got to be kidding me. It hits very close to home for me that, you know, as a combat vet who ate mud and dust and you know what, you know, in the forests of Germany and the sands and the deserts of northern Iraq and Turkey, mm-hmm. you know, for me to be, have to be ordered back and to face like having my life turned inside out and in the thresher that was, say, 2004, 2005 Operation Iraqi Freedom. And Beau Biden gets handed a slot that might have I might have at least what I said was at least if I go, I'd rather go as an attorney than have to go as an ordnance officer. What my branch was as an officer because I was commissioned. And so, you know, it's the privilege came at the advantage. And this is the Bidens, you know, all over Delaware would take advantage, especially Joe would take advantage of people, would walk out on all sorts of services that they had been given, not pay a dime and just be like, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, that's really, really, I mean, considering, again, the privilege that they were given, and whether through Joe's efforts or whatever, the opportunism, the self-serving, the self-dealing is just is grotesque, and it's sickening. And that's why I have little remorse. I have little sense of not remorse, but I have no sympathy, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for me to summon that. On a human level, as I said, I feel for him, for the life he, you know, was raised into. But he made his choices as an adult and many times chose the path of degeneracy and, frankly, in some cases, evil.
Do you think that Hunter Biden's legal issues in any way affected White House policy when his father was the president? Was there any major political decision or policy decision that was made with Hunter in mind, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that he wasn't prosecuted for all these crimes, which had been, I mean, they can call the laptop all the disinformation they want, but I mean, absolutely. I mean, on that front, you have and who knows? I mean, there was a network, a web of criminal activity around him. I think lots of corruption going on, influence peddling. So, I mean, that's just one right there. In terms of larger policy, I think, you know, more of that happened probably under the Obama administration with involving Ukraine. And, you know, who knows how deep we are into this Ukraine conflict, mm-hmm. in part because of, you know, the Bidens need to, you know, capitalize on that and to get what mm-hmm. they could out of it. And, you know, I don't think any other, there's nothing else I can think of other than, again, covering up the corruption that would have affected their policies, because they're Hunter had.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think you're right, because there was a lot of money at stake. We only got the tip of the iceberg when it came to Burisma. We still don't know the backstory to 10% for the big guy, as we later learned. So who knows? It probably is worse than we realize even now in retrospect.
Well, I will say, I mean, people like Tony Bobulinski, that the problem with the Bidens is that they've left no trail of loyalists, and they never did. Joe was never loyal to anybody. And, you know, it's kind of like the song, in their case, no need to be nice on the way up because you're not coming down. Well, you know, what goes up must come down. And I think Hunter is, he better be deep submerged when Joe finally goes, because I mean, whoever he screwed over in his lifetime, and I'm sure there's a lot of people
come right back at him. Yeah, Tyler, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Tyler Nixon is a constitutional attorney, and we are always glad to have him. Friend of the show. Thanks. Good to see you.
Thanks. God bless you, John, and on to the pardon for you.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. The Hunter Biden case teaches that personal failure and public power are a volatile mix. It shows how addiction, entitlement, and access to influence can blur legal and ethical boundaries, and how justice is tested when the defendant is politically connected. It's a reminder that transparency, equal application of the law, and honest family accountability matter more than any last name ever would. Thanks for joining us, and please subscribe to my Substack at John Kiriakou. Stay informed, and as always, keep asking the hard questions. I'm John Kiriakou. Thanks again for watching The Whistleblowers.